What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? This is the Talking the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, joined by Dalton Miller. Cole Patterson is my co-host, and we're joined by a very special guest tonight. We have Ifeatu Melifonwu, the Syracuse DB. What's going on, man? How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm excited to be on here.
We are excited to have you on, and I want to get into some of the combine talk since that's hot on the stove, but I wanted to ask you you know, I said defensive back because some people have you as a safety, some people have you as a corner. I like you as a corner. I think your tape as a corner is tremendous in 2020. I think it's been good the last few years. Where are you kind of working out as right now? Where maybe some NFL teams viewing you as going into the league?
So right now I'm working out as a corner. So with some of the safeties here, we all do the same stuff. So it's like we just do general DB stuff. So corner safeties are really doing the same thing. I know some teams have me listed like a safety or view me as a safety, which is I'm perfectly fine with that. And then obviously there's a lot of teams seeing me as a corner, which is what I played.
Where are you training right now?
I'm in Tampa. I'm at Yo Murphy Performance.
I wanted to go back to the corner safety thing. Why do you think – is it the size they just see is a big corner, and that's always kind of like a thing that big corners do? They get moved to safety because, I mean, again, your tape at corner is good. Like, you're a great athlete. You got length. You're physical. Like, I think you can play safety just fine, but guys, you know, finding those big physical long corners are hard to do, and you have the traits to do that.
Yeah, I think it's probably because my size and physicality, because I do tackle. That's something I pride myself on. Because you know, a lot of corners, you know, corner is not really a position where you have to tackle too much. Right. But I do pride myself in that, and probably my brother being a safety probably factors into it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I kind of wanted to get in on the tackling thing because that's something that was blatantly obvious during your tape. I mean, after a while, especially during that Clemson game,
yeah,
why would they continue to throw that little bubble screen your way when you're just getting rid of whoever that outside receiver is and making plays? Like, why would they continue? I know that that's like that and mirrored smash is like Clemson's entire offense.
Yeah.
But like, why continue to do that to your side of the field? It didn't make sense.
I'm not sure. That's what they like to do. They like to heavy screen game. So I thought maybe they just thought it would, you know, don't go away from what you do best. So maybe they thought it would end up opening up. But, nah, it wasn't. It wasn't. That was something I was clued in on. And I knew they liked to do that. And, obviously, I'm very physical. So I knew it wasn't really going to – you know, I had no problem with that.
And Dalton mentioned the Clemson tape. I mean, obviously that – that the UNC game, we have two or three games of 2020 tape on you. And those two games there are just tremendous from a coverage standpoint, from a physicality standpoint, you know, coming up and tackling and run support. I mean, you show all the ability in those two games. Would you say that those are two of the better games that you've had on tape in your college career?
Yeah, those two, definitely. Definitely this year. Also, I'd like to add, even from 2018, my UNC tape from 2018 was good when I was a redshirt freshman, but definitely from 2020, Clemson and UNC are definitely my best games.
Do you have any sort of like, I mean, I'm sure you do. You being a competitive, you know, football player your level, I'm sure you have like extra drive going into those bigger matchups against your Clemsons, your UNCs, but what kind of drives you to play, you know, take your game to another level against, you know, when you're facing guys like Trevor Lawrence and Amari Rodgers and Justin Ross, all those guys on Clemson's field who are going to play in the league. I'm sure something inside of you makes you want to take your game to another level. Can you kind of describe what it is, you know, what it is or how that works?
Yeah. I mean, it's just being a competitor. I feel like everyone, you know, you want to go against the top guys it's like a measuring stick to see where you're at. And, you know, if you can beat that guy, it'll only elevate you and make you look better as well. And then also when I was a redshirt, we beat Clemson. So I feel like guys never really had, like, on my team, never really had a like, we were always motivated to go into Clemson because, obviously, we beat them before. So it was always, like, extra motivation. Like, you know, we think we can do it again and we can actually play with these guys. Like, because even the next year, I think we only lost by 4 or 3 and they scored on their last drive. So it's, like, it's always, like, extra motivation when we go against them specifically.
Yeah, kind of along those same lines, talking about motivation and everything, is there a particular matchup or a particular player that you went into the week, you came in on Monday watching film, getting ready for Saturday, that you wanted to go up against, that you knew that it was going to be a big challenge, but you knew you would hold your own, and if not, win the matchup one-on-one?
I would say UNC, because I'm right corner. I played in 2020. I played right corner, but the year before and the year before that, I was playing both sides. It really didn't matter. We would just switch. But I was playing right corner, so I knew, or we all knew, the coaching staff knew that right side, that was De'Ami Brown's side. Like, their offensive left, our right. So that was a matchup like I was very excited for, including to that. I'm trying to think another matchup. A lot of teams switch receivers in and out. So, but I just knew that UNC, they always had him on that side. So that was a matchup I was excited for.
Yeah, with that, I wanted to get into the scheme part of it really quickly. Was there a particular reason why you did go, you know, particularly to that right side this year? I know you guys really switch up what you do between one high, two high. You guys move guys around quite a bit in the back end. Is there a reason they had you move to the right side?
No, there actually wasn't a reason. Like, when the new staff came in, or the new, not new staff, but new DC came in, new corners coach came in, I was just listed as right corner. So we just stuck with it. But we did in fall camp, we did like switch sides, because we obviously just can't get work at one side constantly. Yeah. We never know what could happen. You know, we might have to switch sides mid game, or someone could get injured, and I might have to. So like there was a 2 week period. So half a camp, I was on the left side. I think it was like middle, maybe second, third week, and then fourth week I switched back to the right side.
Is that where you're most comfortable at, or do you feel like you can play anywhere?
No, I feel like I can play anywhere. That's just where it happened to be this year. Because the year before we played, we really played it like boundary and field. And the corner last year would always start in the boundary. Mm-hmm. So you know that could switch. So like, he might start the series right this series. Next series he might be left. And then we didn't switch. We stayed whatever start the series. So it really didn't matter. It doesn't matter for me.
That's super interesting, because usually when you see boundary and field, unless a team's in hurry up, they go boundary field the entire time. But, you know, prior to this year, you just stayed on it the entire side, depending on where the ball was at the start of the series. And then you just stayed there. That's interesting. I haven't heard that before, but that's really cool. I just wanted to bring up real quick, and I know that, you know, you're comfortable playing both sides of the ball. We are, you know, on top of being a draft podcast, we are a Dallas Cowboys heavy podcast. And, you know, Trayvon Diggs, he played on the left side of this Dallas Cowboys defense. So, you know, little right cornerback action, you know, from you in a with a star on your helmet wouldn't be too upsetting.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Did you have a favorite team growing up, or?
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts, so my favorite team was the Patriots.
Okay.
So you've been a spoiled fan your entire life, because you're only what, 21?
21, yeah. So basically, my whole life I've been spoiled.
You don't know what it's like, man.
I mean, this year I got a little taste of that.
That's true. I was curious. You talked a little bit of kind of like your, I guess, briefly about your responsibilities in the secondary at Syracuse. I want to maybe get you to dive a little bit deeper. As Cowboys fans, we saw a defense last year that incorporated a lot of different scheme than what we were used to. We played a lot of Tampa 2 when Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard were here. And then you saw a lot of different quarter schemes, man, zone, it switched on and off. Can you talk a little bit about your responsibilities at Syracuse and what your really goal was as the right cornerback in that defense in 2020?
In 2020, we played a lot of man. We played a lot of man. We played cover 3 and cover 2. Some games, it really kind of just depended on the game. But those, if I had to pick 3, it would be those 3. Played some cover 4 versus Clemson versus UNC. We played some cover 4. But really, man, cover 2 and cover 3. And then we had like some variations to cover 3. And then man, sometimes it was cover 1, sometimes it was covers, a lot of times actually it was cover 0.
I'm curious, just from wanting to get a corner's perspective, what is the ideal coverage scheme against NFL offensive schemes in 2021? We've heard a lot of talk about that recently when they brought in Dan Quinn and he runs a cover 1, cover 3 heavy scheme, and like a lot of people are like, oh, that scheme's outdated, it doesn't work as much anymore. You had to answer that question: is what's the best defensive scheme to combat offensive schemes in 2021? What would you say?
That's a good question. I really don't know, because I feel like it just switches. It just switches, right? Like, and it really depends on the teams you play. But for a while, obviously Seahawks, Legion of Boom, that cover 3 scheme,
right,
was great. So right now, I couldn't even answer that.
Well, you answered it right for our Cowboys minds, because we're trying to find somebody to come in here and play corner opposite of Trayvon Diggs, and there's going to be a lot of cover 3 going on here. So we're hoping your name's wearing a blue and silver jersey with a star on your helmet here in a few months.
Yeah, for sure.
I had a quick question. Just, you know, as you prepare for the NFL and everything, How beneficial has it been to have a brother, you know, that's gone through the draft process, that knows what it takes to play in the NFL and all of that kind of stuff? Like, has he talked to you at all about what to do, how to train, how to prepare for interviews, or is he letting it do your own thing? Like, how's that been like?
Oh, no, I actually talked to him today about the little interviews and stuff. Basically, he told me to be myself. He knows I'm a smart dude. A lot of times they try to get you with background stuff. I don't really have any like background issues or character issues. So we said, you know, just be myself, answer questions like how he knows I can answer questions. In terms of training, he just told me to really don't cheat anything early on, because you really want to see how you've improved from when you first get there to later. So basically he just said, just give it my all each day in and day out, especially while I'm training here.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward Podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, so how long have you been down in Tampa training, and where kind of are you guys right now? Because I know, you know, at the start of all of this, it's very technical, getting, you know, stance and start down for the 40. Where are you guys at in the process, and, you know, do you guys have any like mock combine set up down there so far?
So I got here January 2nd. And when I got here, there was about like maybe like five of us, but everyone, you know, people had bowl games and stuff, so everyone's just starting to roll in and everything like that. I want to say you can't really quote me on this, but we haven't done any mock stuff right now, combine, but I think it's because we have so many guys going to the Senior Bowl. He probably just wants to wait. So we haven't done any mock stuff. Obviously, we've done stars for 5-10-5, done, you know, 40 stance, 40 start, things like that. But in terms of like practice tests to get our first numbers, we haven't done that yet.
Have you all been talking much about the changes that they have coming with the combine? You know, they released it earlier in the week that, you know, they're going to kind of, it's going to be a whole different process. They don't really know what they're going to do yet. Has that changed anything that y'all are doing as far as your preparation goes?
No. It hasn't changed anything, because obviously we're still going to have pro days. So
it's still
going to be the same thing, but just obviously not a main stage like that, just individualized. So nothing has changed in terms of preparation or anything like that.
I was reading a report earlier today that it was actually from last year. I want to say that you were projected to run in the mid 4.4s. Can you let us know if that's accurate or not?
Yeah, I believe I'm confident enough to say I can run in the 4.4s.
Awesome. Yeah, that's and I'm just curious, just because sometimes it's posted different. Like, what height and weight are you at right now, and what are you hoping to play at in 2021?
Right now I'm 6'3", 211. hoping to play anywhere. I mean, anywhere around there is fine. The most I got in fall camp, I was 215. And the first game, I was 213. Anywhere really from, like, I've played from 213. I've played at 207. And it's all – it hasn't really been, a difference.
Right, and your athleticism and movement, so –
So, I mean, because I watch big corners all the time, and I got to be honest with you, a lot of the time I don't like big corners, but I just got to be honest about that, because there's a way you get to a certain point in your height and weight, and then it takes a little bit of your flexibility and your fluidity out. Is that something that you've really had to work on to get flexible and to be fluid, or is that just God-given?
No, I think – a little bit is God-given, but obviously, you know, training here, definitely still working on mobility and flexibility and stuff like that with the yoga and all the mobility work here. But I feel like when you watch me play, I feel like I don't move like a bigger guy.
Right.
No, you don't. That's what's so surprising. Like, because, you know, when we do these things, and like we watch the tape and we, you know, rank prospects and stuff. And, you know, for a long time, it's, you know, he's you know, he's Obi's brother. He might be a safety. He might be a corner. And then we start, you know, the media starts to get to your tape a little bit, and they're like, this dude is really good. And nobody talks about this. And it's like, yeah, you have this dude who's 6'3", 215, and he moves like he's 6 foot, 190 pounds.
Exactly.
Like, why don't we know more about this kid so far? It's really nice when a big corner like you can actually move a little bit. And when that happens and you see a guy like yourself who was able to mirror and match a guy like Diami Brown, that perks your ears up and gets your eyes really focused in. So, you know, I do just want to give props. If it's God given, if it's yoga, whatever it is, it was incredibly impressive to watch. So and I'm not a guy who usually just gives guys props like this, but thank you for being who you are.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
And that, I mean, again, like for a guy who, like you said, 6'3", 211, 213, the first thing you noticed when I turned on your tape was not your size and your length. It was how you moved. It was all the movement, all the fluidity that you moved when your transitions. And it was a Clemson game and you're covering guys, you know, running go routes, you're covering guys running post routes, and you're just crowding the catch point. You're fluid in your transitions. And like, that's what stuck out to me. And then, you know, again, like I said, you see 6'3", 211, but you never know if that's 2 or 3 inches off. To sort of hear you're actually 6'3", 211 pounds and can move like that is, like Dalton said, is just really impressive.
And kind of to Dalton's point, him just talking about like the lack of big corners being able to move and everything. Is there like a specific DB that you watch in the NFL that you try to model your game after, that you're watching film? Do you want to play like, or is there anybody in particular?
Nah, there's no one in particular. I like to watch a lot of different guys and try to take things from their game. Obviously, you know, Jalen Ramsey is one of the best, and he's a bigger corner too. I think he's like 6'2". So, and he tackles too. Obviously, coverage, but he tackles, very physical. So I like to watch, like, you know, different things. So I watch Jalen Ramsey, obviously Gilmore. I'm being from Massachusetts, I watch the Patriots a lot. You know, off man Kyle Fuller. This off man is crazy. So I just like to watch different things. I wouldn't say I try to model my game after one specific person.
Gotcha.
And speaking of off man, because when I look at a cornerback, that's kind of the first thing I look for. You know, how comfortable and how fluid are you and how instant are you playing in off man? Is there a certain key for you when you are playing off on a guy?
Yeah, when you're playing off, you got to trust your pedal, because if you open up too early, they can run anything. So you got to trust your pedal. My coach this year really helped me with my off man, Coach West. I appreciate him for that. He really got my off man better, especially reading the three step. Reading the three step, if it's three step, you know, you're getting hitch or you're getting slant, you're getting quick out. So it kind of like, when you read that, it kind of eliminates some routes from the route tree. So after, it's not a three step, if it's a five step, it's a quick five, it's a drop back, then you're getting more your intermediate, deeper routes, and you're staying in your pedal a little longer and things like that.
So you guys, when you're playing off man, I assume you're outside leverage and you're going QB2 number one in your read?
Yeah, and the shade, the leverage, it really just depends on where the receiver lines up. There's been times we played outside. I think Clemson, a lot of time when we were in the field, their splits were a little cut down, so I was playing a lot of outside leverage. But yeah, you're going, your eyes are going from QB, and then you read through the three, then your eyes snap back to the nearest hip. The number one receiver.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. So, man, I only got one more question. I don't know how many more the guys got, but I know when I turn on your tape, you see you playing special teams as well. How important is it for you in this process to kind of prove to teams that you're not just a corner? You can play special teams. You can play multiple spots on special teams. Like, I see that you're a versatile guy on defense, but you can also do a lot of things on the special team side of the ball as well.
Yeah, no, that's very important, because it shows versatility. I'm not just what do they say, one-trick pony. I could definitely play special teams. I've been playing special teams since my freshman year. So that's definitely something I'm willing and ready to play and want to play, actually. So, yeah, that's big.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I don't have anything else for him. Do you guys have any other questions you want to get to him?
Cole, you got anything?
I'm good. He did a great job of answering everything I had.
I have one more, and don't feel like you're pressed to answer this or anything, but obviously every underclassman gets to talk to the committee about where they are projected in the draft. Did they give you an answer? And if so, what was that answer?
So I actually I declared before I got that back.
Okay.
I submitted my name, but I declared before my coach actually got it back. But obviously, I made an educated decision on what things agents, a bunch of different agents were telling me. So it wasn't just like really going into it blind. And then also, you have to factor that in, and you also have to take it with a grain of salt, because my brother coming out was 5th, 6th round. That was his grade, his projection. Then he had a Senior Bowl. He played well Senior Bowl, and then also combine tested very well. So, and he went in the 2nd. So all those things, you really got to factor it in.
I obviously lied. I actually have another question I want to ask you after that one came up. But obviously you're coming into the draft with teammates like Andre Sisco, who's, you know, one of the top ranked safeties in his class. Uh-huh. How, can you talk about that relationship that you've kind of built with him over, and some of the other DBs too, who were going to be coming out this year and soon as well? Just a relationship you guys have built. You know, obviously, you know, no offense, but Syracuse isn't known for being a great, you know, corner class, you know, DBU by any means. You guys have really turned into one of the best units in the league over the last few years. Can you talk a little bit about just the relationship you guys have built over the years?
Sisco specifically, I probably talk to Sisco, I want to say, like, probably maybe once every day or once every other day I talk to Sisco. So that's the relationship I have with him. He's one of my closest friends on the team. Also, as well as Trill, too.
Yeah.
Trill, me and Trill been very close since he got there, because we were both corners at the time. So we've been very close. We're all, us three are all very close. And even the whole secondary, guys like Garrett Williams, when them two left, when Sisco and Trill left, I was doing everything with Garrett. We'd go out to eat, watch film together. So I think the whole unit is very, very close with each other.
And then my last question is McKinley Williams popped up on tape when I was watching Clemson. I didn't know anything about him, but that dude just gave Clemson's offensive line a hell of a time. Can you tell me a little bit more about him?
Bear, yeah, they call him Bear. That's his nickname, Bear. Obviously, you see he's actually very – he's big.
Yeah.
He's very athletic. Like, he can do backflips
that's what I heard.
Back handsprings and stuff like that. Very athletic, very quick too. And obviously, his nickname is Bear, so you know he's strong. Yeah, he's a very good player.
Yeah, he flashed a lot in that game, and I was like, man, I've never heard this guy's name. Nobody's talking about him, but he was whipping Clemson's ass, and I was like, man, Ifatu's killing him. You know, this dude's killing him. I was like, this Syracuse defense is for real.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. You guys got anything else?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Can't thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course,
thanks
man.
For having me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you so much. Wish you the best of luck in this process. You know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to see you at the combine, it sounds like, but hopefully we'll be able to follow up with the pro day numbers, because we think those numbers are going to be really, really impressive. So we're looking forward to following up with that. But we appreciate you coming on, man, and we will we can't wait to follow you throughout the process. We'll talk again soon, and thanks again so much.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for coming on. We want to thank Ifatu Melifonwu so much for coming on and joining the show. We had a blast with him on. Syracuse DB.
I need to point out, you're trying to say Melifonwu, but I swear to God you're saying Melifonwu. I swear, man.
Pronunciation. I got to get the claps in. Melifonwu.
See, you just did it again. But you just called him Melifonwu. It's Melifonwu. There's no N.
Well, Melifonwu.
There we go.
whatever you want to call it, however you want
to
pronounce
it. He's not a round fruit. That's all I'm saying.
Round fruit. He's a dude, and I really enjoyed having him on. I think 6'3", 211, 215, like, can cover, can tackle.
I mean, dude, he's even bigger than I thought. I really, really like him at corner. But, like, dude, if the Cowboys get, like, Farley at 10 or Surtain, I don't give a crap who it is. Like, if they get a corner in there and he's around at 43, I'm going to play that young man at free safety.
Yeah, I have – based on the three games that I've watched of him, and I have three games.
Yeah.
I have a second-round grade on him. I think he is a
– I think he's fantastic. I really do think there's he's not really, much, really good.
I mean, again, he's got some rawness to his game. He's a junior, so he's not like – he's not a redshirt senior like a lot of people probably think a Syracuse cornerback would be coming. So he's still young, so he's still developing a little bit. But the size, the athleticism, the fluidity, like the coverage, the tackling, like – there's not much to not like about him.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's not there at 44. I wouldn't either. Honestly, with Darion Kendrick going back to school,
I
could see him being the fourth or fifth corner taken. Right. Like it, you just don't know. Like you think, you know, Eric Stokes, you know, maybe Tyson Campbell, like those guys have, you know, more skins on the wall, but this kid, they're not this kid. Like, Campbell's
dudes
fast.
That run, they're 6'3" and 4'4" don't grow on trees.
No, especially and guys that are 215 don't move like that. Like if you're so fast, fluid. Like he's so fluid for his size. He is really, really intriguing. And I do need to bring up because it's gonna get talked about. You know, Obi not being the pro that his draft stock or his draft slot, you know, had him as. You know, Ifatu said it like. He was a fifth or sixth round pick before the Senior Bowl in the combine.
Right.
The tape said what it said. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I really like this kid a lot.
And that, like, I'm glad you said that because the difference between him and Obi is, you know, like I said, I think the film, Obi's combine just catapulted him, sent him to a, you know, again, I mean, with that size and that athleticism, it's hard not to. I think he's tremendous on tape. Like I said, I know some people have talked about moving him to corner, but I'm sticking his long, tall ass at corner and letting him play the ball, letting him tackle, and letting him be physical. Cole, what's one thing you took away from the interview that you think he can – I mean, again –
Yeah, I love that he sounded, like, really confident just throughout the interview, you know. Like, he said that he pointed out North Carolina, he pointed out Clemson, his games that he went into the week going to that – hey, this is an opportunity for me to show some good film. This is an opportunity to prove to evaluators that I'm just as good as the receivers I'm going up against. And I think that's going to, you know, go pretty well once he gets to the league just because he has no fear. He was talking about how the team beat Clemson when he was younger. So they didn't enter the game, like, shell-shocked. Like, we see so many teams doing that. Like, he was able to hold his own. And like you said, like, he didn't even understand why Clemson was going his way throughout the game. Like, he was making all these plays. He was doing all that. I just took that as a sign that, you know, there's some DB. I mean, you do have to be confident as a DB. It's kind of one of the traits you have to have. But I feel like a lot of his confidence is genuine, and he backs it up on tape. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, talk a lot. But I don't know. That's kind of what I took away. I think it helps him having a brother that went through the process and everything. And I know OB isn't performing well, like y'all said, but I think having somebody that's already gone through all of this is only going to prepare him even more. And that makes his ceiling that much higher, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm interested to see, you know, I know OB spent some time with the Raiders, the Patriots. So I'm interested to see kind of what he does. Cause again, like there's some rawness there with him too, the athleticism's there too, but I think he's still a player that could potentially turn it into something with his size and athleticism. But that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back later in the week. We're going to have a big guest on later coming up on this weekend.
A big guest.
That's your hint.
That's called a tease.
Yep. So make sure these episodes are going to be coming out on Wednesdays and Sundays. So make sure you're paying attention. You're subscribing to the Blogging Your Boys podcast channel so you can hear us talk to all these prospects throughout the season. Thank you guys so much for listening. This was Talking the Star. Ooh, Talking the Draft. Jeez, that was bad. When us three get together, it kind of is Talking the Star, but Talking the Draft. We'll be back later in the weekend for another episode. Thank you guys so much. See see y'all next time.